You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. Last week, we shifted gears and started talking about abusive relationships and how to apply the Kylo principles. One major theme of abusive relationships is triangulation, otherwise known as the irresponsibility cycle. This week, Danny and Brittany are going to further break down the irresponsibility cycle and what happens when it begins to shape families, organizations, and society. So get ready, because the newest episode of The Kylo Show is starting right now.
Welcome to The Kylo Show. We made it to episode 20.
Here we are.
We made a big deal of 19, but really it's 20 we should be excited about.
20.
Ta-da. You're got a lot of Spanish flowing today.
I think that's Italian, but anyway.
Well, that's good.
I don't understand why they say 20
at Starbucks. I don't know. Grande. Why. I don't know where tall came from either.
Grande is large.
Right.
20 is 20.
Okay. 20 ounces.
Maybe.
Okay.
20.
Well, I was going to, you've been saying hello in Spanish all morning.
I know.
Because you just got back from Cancun.
Cancun. Yes.
And it's not even
Buenos
spring.
Dias.
Yeah. Why were you there? I think you should share, because it's such a fun story.
It was such a beautiful story. Well, my friend surprised his wife with a vow renewal type with a bunch of their friends, and flew everybody to Cancun, to this place, and beautiful place. She was very surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so happy 20th, Eric and Sadie.
It was really fun that he did that, and all the kids are there, and then all the closest friends.
It was like the wedding of your stuck with you friends. You know, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I just thought you'd share, because this is the Kylo Show. I mean, that's kind of a great introduction to which is not Spanish. Year. Lesson learned.
Años.
There you go. Well, we are back to the Kylo Show. And we started kind of a new series a little bit before this, which was talking about abuse and just kind of what that looks like in different aspects. And we're kind of diving into all the different facets of that, which we talk about the triangulation. And so we're still on the victim part.
Yeah.
We're going to do part two just to really tackle in something that feels so crucial to helping victims get out, which is the responsibility part of theirs to be powerful.
Yeah. And the irresponsibility cycle is exactly that. It's when you push responsibility away from you, and the victim is really where it starts.
Yeah. So we've been, we kind of talked through it a little bit last week, but we're going to keep jumping into it. And one of the things that we were talking about a little bit this morning, but I was just looking at in our notes, is talking about how when you become a victim and the impact that it has on just kind of generational things and nonstop. And I was just thinking family. Yep. We've been talking about parenting, so it's a good segue from that. But, you know, how many times I have heard in a grocery store that a mom says to a child, "You're making me mad."
Yeah.
I mean, so many times. Yeah.
Put that remote control back in your pocket, your diaper. Put that remote control back in your diaper.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, just that phrase alone, "You're making me anything," is a trap to being a victim.
It's a setup. It's a setup to push responsibility away from you and then to blame.
Yep.
And say, "You are my excuse for what I'm about to say, what I'm about to do, how I'm about to feel, how I'm about to live, how I'm about to treat you. You are my excuse for everything I'm going to give myself permission to do."
Which is crazy when you look at like jobs people have that they hate, you know, but they're this person or that their boss or their job, you know, makes them miserable. But it's such a position that you're giving away that power to, instead of having ownership or responsibility to what you're choosing.
Yeah, in Relationship 101 in the Life Academy, we talk about this whole cycle and the, you know, the remote, like, you know, you make me mad. Well, let me tell you something. If I could make you something,
yeah.
I would never push the mad at me button,
right?
Be mad at me. No, mm-hmm. no, I'm not making you do this. This is, you're upset by something I'm doing. Okay, that's great. What are you going to do with your upset?
Mm-hmm.
But certainly I'm not directing your thoughts, attitudes, values, actions, words, mm-hmm. character. I'm not designing that. You are.
Right. I know another big area where kind of this gets caught up in is the church.
Yeah.
Which we talked a little bit about that last week. But mm-hmm. I mean, I think that the church is another place where victims are created because often their leaders are the rescuers,
mm-hmm.
Which, and I think pastors, good intentions, they take on this role over and over again as the hero to a bunch of sheep, mm-hmm. you know, your flock, instead of empowering these people to take responsibility and have a different lifestyle.
And I know a lot of victim leaders,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of leaders who give themselves permission to make bad guys out of people in their congregation, people on their staff, people on their board, people in their own families, you know, that they're the victim of what somebody else is doing, conspiring, you know, whatever. And it's you know, when a leader, you know, when the parents become victims in the family,
mm-hmm.
or they become victims of each other, or when the leaders in a church become victims of the people they lead, here we go. Here we go is, you know, the sermon
yeah.
is going to be loaded with
yeah.
all the correction to all the imaginary or, well, imaginary enemies, mm-hmm. but the threats that this leader feels. He's going to use his power to try to manipulate the whole organization
yeah.
rather than talk to that one person
totally. Yep.
or those two people that they actually have the problem.
I remember Ben, when he was in youth ministry, working with different people, and one of the leaders was addressing this one problem that they were having with one of the five interns, you know, but to all of the interns, they're that he was addressing it as if all of them were guilty of this problem. And I remember Ben kind of just giving the feedback of like, hey, I feel like we're punishing everybody else for one person's bad decision
yeah.
instead of going to that one person, you know, which it does feel like that is the less confrontive way to go about and having this conversation, but really it's not very successful because is that person even paying attention?
I remember one time I went in a restroom in Australia, and on the wall in front of the urinal was a sign, and it said, do not wash your shoes in the urinal.
Right, because everyone
thought,
does that.
You're telling me this because somebody
mm-hmm.
did that.
Right.
But it's now a rule.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow.
Which, I mean, how many people are thinking about doing that now that it's in front of them?
I hadn't even had that thought until right. you suggested it. Oh, and I thought, huh.
That's funny.
I think I'll wash my shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. So the other place where this victim mentality seems to be thriving yeah. in is society.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't – my kids are watching YouTube videos, and I just – it irritates me. It's yeah. just leaking out everywhere. Yeah. I mean, ads on commercials, billboards. I mean, it's just everywhere.
Yeah, the media is like irresponsibility cocktails that they're just yes. serving up all day, and people are just drunk with it. You know, they're just out of control with this, it's not my fault. Mm-hmm. Somebody else is the reason my life looks like this.
Yeah.
If somebody else would do something different, then my life would be better. You know, when are you going to change my life? You're responsible for all the poor consequences that my choices have manifest.
Yeah.
You're the reason. The parents, the leaders, the each other,
right.
everything is absolutely pushing responsibility away from myself and blaming everybody I can find.
Which it's crazy because I feel like the society piece is we are so led by emotions. Mm-hmm. Emotions are everything that are true rather than going to the Lord or scriptures. It is now the filter for what makes me a victim and a situation worthy of punishment. Mm-hmm. So no longer am I held accountable by anything if my emotions say that this is justifiable. Mm-hmm. That is how this feels.
Yeah, and there's no place to measure my own character. Like, there's no plumb line. Mm. It's my emotions. It's my feeling. It's my perceptions. And I prescribe truth.
Yeah. Which is dangerous because I am now also the one that defines truth, mm-hmm. which is not how this works.
I was just reading John Maxwell book. And he's telling a story in there where there's a guy who got his x-rays. The doctor's showing his x-rays. You know, he's showing the truth. Mm-hmm. And he's looking at these like, oh gosh, could you just touch those up a little bit so that isn't really happening?
Yeah.
Like, you think you can change truth because you don't like it.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, well, that's harsh. Yeah. And that is what leads people to deception and perverting things so mm-hmm. so much that you live a distortion because your assignment to mm-hmm. reality is what you now will say is true.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, that's
dangerous.
And if it's not centered on personal responsibility, then you've set yourself up to be a victim. You know, you're in the cycle somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Becky Johnson just spoke at Jesus Culture, I think it's Sunday after Father's Day. She did a great job, which mm-hmm. is she's talking right about the same thing, and she has an illustration about an x-ray. So if you're listening and you want some more, it's not necessarily about victims, but it's very powerful about truth and what we and our emotions. So I would just give a plug for Becky because I loved the message. She did a great job. But I just think about who is the most genuine, undisturbed by any emotions he may have felt. If he was on the Enneagram, if he was on the DISC profile, he would just be the perfect number, which I don't know what that is, or the perfect outline. But that would be Jesus.
Yeah. And he was the perfect victim.
Yeah.
You know, he was literally tried and crucified as an innocent man.
Right. And yet he never took the posture of being a victim.
Not at all. And the whole time, you know, he hangs on to, I'm accountable to my Father. Mm-hmm. I'm not accountable to you or even to myself. Mm-hmm. I'm accountable in my Father. And as a result, I only do that which pleases my Father and protects my relationship with my Father. So you can be as upset with me as you want to be. You can say what you want. You can do what you want.
Right.
I will always be a reflection of who he has created me to be, but also led me in my character.
Which, you know, one of the things we've talked about with this was you were saying how Jesus was, his motivation was love.
Yeah.
Never fear.
Yeah, to follow his Father and to choose love.
Which, I mean, I think our principles, which we didn't list them off in the beginning, but which may be the first time. So we might have to go back and do that because that is what we do every single time. But that's one of the principles is to choose love over fear.
Yep.
And I think if you think about the breakdown of becoming a victim is you have like this split second to decide what do I partner with? Mm-hmm. And I think in that moment of pain, frustration, usually it's a lot of pain is one of the biggest motivators, I think, that a victim or hurt, you know. But it is this place of we move away from choosing how Jesus would live and partnering with that place of love, and we go and look for our own justification or punishment of the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And that's where we lose that love over fear principle that we have that mm-hmm. Jesus modeled so beautifully. And
it's so easy to do. You know, it's just so easy to get caught up in what's going on around you, what has happened to you, your perception of what has happened to you, and to really lose sight of who you are no matter what happens, mm-hmm. who I'm going to be no matter what someone else decides to do. Yep. And I think this goes back to, you know, teaching our children that, A, you're going to give an account for your life mm-hmm. to God,
yep.
not to Instagram.
No.
And you are going to have to choose between love and fear throughout your whole life. Mm-hmm. Choose wisely.
So really, I mean, we're not tying this to parenting, but you could, especially looking at the generational things that we're trying to create, is yeah. teaching our children that they're accountable not necessarily to you, but to the Father.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, obviously we are the ambassadors for heaven at the moment, being the parent, but at the same time, really driving home. I mean, I know Delaney's almost 16, so we're always like, this is not us anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you are quickly becoming an adult, and this no longer impacts us as much as it impacts you, mm-hmm. you know, and what are you going to do? And I mean, she's navigated all sorts of things beautifully, but that is the biggest thing, especially as they start moving away from that little childlike, you know, stage where they kind of have some extra grace, but then moving into that adult range of true accountability is to your Father in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But so because we didn't do the five principles, just in case you forgot, I'll say them again. They're being powerful.
Yep.
Choose love over fear. Pursue the goal of connection. Practice respectful communication and honor healthy boundaries.
There they are.
So we did it. We made it in the first segment. We almost forgot, but we did it. Okay. We're going to answer some questions now. Excited about that.
Hey there. Show promoter Christian Zamora here. I know when I first started realizing that I needed to correct some beliefs and behaviors in my relationships, the Loving on Purpose Life Academy was an answer to prayer. It helped me become a powerful person and in turn improve my relationships with God, my spouse, my children, and myself. So if you're looking for a similar type of breakthrough, I would encourage you to go to lovingonpurpose.com and click courses and get access to the Loving on Purpose Life Academy right now.
All right, so our first question comes from Jerry Lynn.
I have a question. How do you help someone that freezes and flees with every conflict they face? I know someone that is very passive, and any conflict that they face, they completely freeze and then flee the situation or just shut down and just ignore it or ignore the person or cut them out of their life. So what can I say to this person to encourage them to take a better approach?
How is that working out for you?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be tough because this person has to want something bad mm-hmm. enough to face all that fear. And you can want it for somebody. It could be one of your own children. You're just like, come on, honey, you know, say something, do something. And they're like, my brain goes blank and I got nothing. You know, like, and it's fear is paralyzing, you know. It really, it's a spiritual power. Yeah. And so there has to be some understanding to the reward to face the fear, the reward to change, because most people change because of pain.
Yeah.
Some people change because they have a vision to grow and add strength to their life or improve or get better or whatever. Mm-hmm. But most people change because if I don't, I think I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right. And the sad part is a lot of folks get in relationships where they got into it because they didn't confront, mm-hmm. they weren't assertive, they didn't show up, and they ended up with a T-Rex who basically says, hey, I matter and you don't. And they said, totally.
Yeah, okay.
And that formed an agreement, and usually a really scary marriage.
Yep.
And the parent or the friends all watch, and they all know who the bad guy is,
mm-hmm.
and they all know who the victim is, mm-hmm. never realizing that we have two volunteers for right. this relationship.
Yeah. I told that the truth of people either change because of pain or vision, and it's not normally vision.
Yeah.
She was not happy with me afterwards in the sense of just the realization of I'm in this place of dire pain and I waited too long, you know, and I was like, well, this is where we change. So
are you miserable enough yet? Yeah.
So, you know, that was the conversation, but it is eye-opening when you look at like, wow, that's very true. And it's also very frustrating that you would get to a place you're so uncomfortable or so miserable that that's when you decide it's not because you want something better way back here or you believed truth about what you're worth, your value, and what you want to model for your children. But, you know, I was thinking as Jerilyn was asking this question about Adeline, you know, and obviously she's a child, but Adeline doesn't handle confrontation very well when you first bring it up to her. It's usually a big explosion of emotions and hiding in her room. I remember her having to have a conversation confronted with her uncle, Tete, and she sat with her face in a chair and he was sitting on the bed and I was laughing at this is us practicing.
The similarities.
Yes, Tay was like that as a kid for sure. But I was just thinking about, man, if I just allowed this to be acceptable of how you had confrontation, you would grow up just making this bigger and bigger. And this would be how you do all confrontation is hidden, you know, which a lot of times now that is through a phone. We don't have face-to-face confrontation. So a practical thought for me was, you know, if they're able to ask the question like, hey, can we have this conversation? Can you prepare this person? Like, I just wonder, is there any way of breakthrough coming when they get a little bit of like information beforehand, some prep? Like, I'm going to talk to you about that exchange. It was painful. Can I talk to you on Tuesday or Thursday? You know, and warming up to the idea that we're going to have this conversation because she may be a little Adeline that never learned skills.
Yeah, and the fear is real, and the mm-hmm. practice, you know, she's got...
I don't know what it is.
Well, she's got momentum at this point in her life of running, of avoiding. So to change that, it requires ownership. Like, mm-hmm. okay, what am I going to do? I'm not going to live like this anymore. So until she gets to that spot, then unless she is a child, she doesn't have someone parenting her.
Mm-hmm.
But if she has notes, like if she just could kind of go back to the, I will have this conversation as long as it's respectful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she needs a safe place.
Yeah.
And if she's dealing with somebody that's out of control and abusive mm-hmm. and whatever, then she needs to get away from that person.
Yeah.
But if it is a safe place in that she's just dealing with an upset person,
mm-hmm.
maybe an intensely upset person, but not disrespectful,
yeah.
then maybe the formula of I feel this feeling when this happened,
mm-hmm.
I need to feel this feeling. So using an I message, maybe written out a couple of them and say, like, I'll talk if you'll listen.
Mm-hmm.
But when you stop listening, I'll stop talking.
Yeah.
And create some sort of structure and safety to step into.
Yeah.
But it only is going to happen when she owns her half of the problem.
Right.
And that is, I have some truth that I'm not letting anybody know.
Right. Or I have some truth and I don't want to hear anyone else's truth about how they're experiencing, which, mm-hmm. you know, maybe there's, again, lots of fears, but I think I would just encourage to keep your love on away. Highlight some areas that you think would be helpful.
Yeah, the communication section is full of some real practical steps.
Yeah. That's what I would do. Go for it, Jerilyn. Okay. Next question comes from Jennifer.
How do you cope with feelings of rejection from your past when you recognize the same behaviors and you notice that you're being triggered because you recognize that behavior before, but the person hasn't given you a reason not to distrust them. It's just a memory from your past.
Yeah, well, that's that. A lot of that happens in counseling, you know, working with somebody that is good at helping you recreate that feeling, that perception of being hurt or threatened, mm-hmm. and being able to walk as an adult instead of as a child, as someone who's powerful and someone instead of someone who feels so powerless. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you know, it's the interaction with the Holy Spirit. It's interaction with truth, you know, mm-hmm. the Spirit of truth, like, Lord, what is actually happening right now? Mm-hmm. Where are you in this situation? What do you want me to know right now? What do you want me to see? How do you see me right now? Mm-hmm. And replacing a whole bunch of the lies that have been accumulated with truth that you can now activate like a sword, mm-hmm. in that situation to do warfare with fear, yeah. and have it ready, you know, have it in the sheath ready to go so that when the next trigger comes, shing, you mm-hmm. can pull out the truth and at least frame your own perception of what's happening in truth instead of lies.
Because mm-hmm. will it just continue the cycle of partnering with being a victim if you don't replace those truths?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you push responsibility away and you say, you know, you're trying to hurt me. Mm-hmm. You're rejecting me. It's coming. The impetus for my behavior is coming from over there, mm-hmm. instead of from in here.
Gotcha.
And so the ownership of what am I going to do, mm-hmm. starts with what am I going to believe?
Yeah.
And then it starts to unfold from there. And so walking with someone who has some inner healing counseling skills around, okay, now what's true right now? What's the Lord saying right now? What's true about you, mm-hmm. even if that person's upset with you? What's yeah. true with you, even if that person says hurtful things? Mm-hmm. And what changes what's true about you?
And then believing that new truth.
Yeah.
And holding on to that.
And here it goes back to, I have a plan. And yeah. maybe I even have it written down.
Mm-hmm. Back to those notes.
Yep.
Back to this.
Back
person
to
notes.
Something like that. Uh-huh. Right here is where I usually practice the lie. I know it so well, I didn't even have to write it down.
Right.
But this new stuff, it's a little takes a little longer to get in there. Okay, uh-huh. and yeah. It's being prepared and being responsible, mm-hmm. with what am I going to do?
Yeah, it's true. I think that's the biggest thing of anyone that I've worked with and. Where there's been a traumatic experience and trust lost, and it's kind of stained a lot of their willingness to have other relationships, mm-hmm. is them finding what does being powerful mean, and what does it look like, and where's that new truth coming from, and how can you exchange it? And it feels like they're, you know, totally in training mode of getting rid of the so easily accessible lies that they've had for so long. Yeah. So
yeah, it's momentum is what it is. It feels like an impossible thing to change, but it's just negative momentum, mm-hmm. agreement with fear. I have so many habits around agreeing with fear. It feels like it just automatically happens.
Yeah.
And as soon as you interrupt it with, what am I going to do? You begin to recognize, am I going to choose the fear, or do I have something else ready to go? Mm-hmm. And the answer to that question for a long time is no. I didn't choose fear. Fear chose me.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
But actually, yeah. I have such a habit of choosing fear that I didn't even see it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I have zero alternative. I have no truth ready to go. I have no confrontation with fear at all. I have no self-control in that moment. I feel absolutely triggered, victimized, react. And now I'm...
And you live it out.
And now I've made decisions. I've said things. I'm just awash with adrenaline and, you know, a chemical bath of emotion, essentially.
Yeah.
And I am five steps in before I realize, this is not what I want to do. Mm-hmm. Why do I keep doing this?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it happened back there. It happened back with, what am I going to do right now? Mm-hmm. Wasn't even on the plate.
Yeah. I know Steve Backlund has a book, You're Crazy If You Don't Talk to Yourself.
Love Steve Backlund.
Yeah. And which I think in this, you know, we're talking about note cards and different things like that, but it almost feels like, you know, the declarations are such a powerful way to remove lies and insert truths as a practical sense to kind of rechanging your brain. Mm-hmm. You know, like I think it's Carolyn Leaf that talks about, you know, your highways that you create. And it's really, you got to put a construction zone and reroute that sucker and build a new road.
You do.
And so it just feels like, you know, declaring new truths to your life to the point where, you know, that's what you think of first because you're saying it so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember Ben having a season of having to really chase after some stuff. And Steve Backlund's book was really just really impactful for him in declaring new truths and partnering with the new
outcomes. He's got a lot of really great practices around forming your beliefs, taking responsibility for your beliefs, and then just ready-made packages of truths that you can just grab and implement right away.
Yeah.
So highly recommend. Steve Backlund.
Well, that's awesome. Well, that's all the questions we got for now, but we're going to move on to a testimony.
Love testimonies.
Mm-hmm. Hey there, it's me again. I realize that some of you listening have already overcome abusive relationships and done the hard work to become a powerful person. If that's you, I would have you consider being a Life Academy facilitator. Life Academy facilitators help others by walking them through one of our Life Academy courses, like Relationships 101. It often takes someone coming out of abusive relationships to go back and help others have that same breakthrough. So if you want to be a Life Academy facilitator, go to lovingonpurpose.com, click courses, and lead a class.
Okay, so we're on to the testimony.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. And this one comes to us from Alan.
Love Alan.
Hey, Danny, Brittany, and the Kylo Show. As we get started, first of all, I want to say thank you so much to Danny, Sherry, Ben, and Britt for all the wonderful tools at Loving on Purpose and the Life Academy. We have hundreds of testimonies of people here in the islands of Hawaii overcoming their hurts, habits, and hangups and finding hope, help, and healing because of you and tools like Kylo. Kylo is one of my favorite tools in my Life Academy toolbox. And I like to share an awesome yet challenging revelation on page 24 of Kylo. You know, that's the cycle of triangulation or irresponsibility. When I saw that, I realized how I could help other people and families to break that dysfunctional cycle in parenting, leadership, and in families. Then I realized that I had a problem. I had a big problem. Heartbreaking. And the sobering reality was that I was stuck in that cycle as well with my family. The problem was that this was so normal to be in that irresponsible cycle. And I didn't even realize it was a problem because it was so normal. And that was the sobering reality for me. Well, long story short, thanks to Danny, Sherry, Brittany, and Ben, and the Loving on Purpose family, I started to take responsibility to break this cycle and to clean up my mess that I caused and to help my family and others to do the same. Kylo is one of the greatest things in the world. It helped me to help my family and to help other families, to create a culture of whole, healthy families, to change the world here in Hawaii. And also, I started to realize that I needed to get rid of the relationship, parenting, and leadership tools that was dysfunctional and unhealthy that was passed down to me from previous generations. And now, today, I use Kylo as a new tool and to declare that I, Alan Cardenas Jr., am powerful. I don't need a bad guy, and I am not a victim. Because of Kylo, I can create and protect connections. And I can keep my love on no matter what other people do. Danny, Sherry, Brittany, and family, I will be forever grateful for what you've done in my life, my family, my community, and Hawaii. I love you forever. Love you all. God bless. And aloha.
Well, Alan, you're so sweet.
He's a powerhouse.
We know Alan. We've been to Hawaii a few times, but every time you get around him, you're just ecstatically excited about anything
he's talking about.
You know, he has this ability to be so contagious and convincing of life and hope. He does a great job of that. So
he's a real father in the islands as well, and just a mover and shaker kind of influencer to really the Hawaiians, the ones that have been, you know, just so devastated by so many lies of powerlessness and victimhood. Mm-hmm. And he's in there going, "Hey guys, yeah. You know, I'm from the same neighborhood." I mean, he's a pastor in a really tough part of Oahu. And you just hear him tell the stories, and you're like, oh, man, this is, it's rampant. You know, it's everywhere. It's in every city. It's in every part of the world where if people believe that someone else is responsible for the consequences in their life, then it's obviously people get victimized. Mm-hmm. But then there's the what are you going to do part. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And until you nail that right there, you just get caught up in blame and pushing responsibility away from you.
Mm-hmm. In other conversations we've had, he was just commissioned by either the mayor, I don't know if it was the governor, but as a father, like he actually has like this.
He's part of the leadership of the Fatherhood Commission in the state of Hawaii.
Yeah, which was a kind of a government thing that they've just put such a highlight on. And so if you didn't listen to him and feel like that was, you know, a dad talking to you, you know, I think you're crazy. Yeah. But he is. He just carries this father's heart. And we were talking last week. I was on a call with him, and he was just talking about how he chooses to love people that he doesn't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has a gift of...
He's on a mission.
He is. Yeah. He is so laser focused on... I'm going to love you well, regardless of where our beliefs line up and if they ever do.
Which is unusual in a Christian leader.
Yes.
You know, Kylo.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of folks that try to compromise their value system to find a place to connect.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's other people like Jesus. Like there was this zero compromise, and I give my life for you.
Right.
And you are at war with me,
mm-hmm.
and I'll give my life for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, woof. Okay. This is a man who loves his land, loves mm-hmm. his people, mm-hmm. loves these islands. You know, he knows what he's carrying. Mm-hmm. He knows he's carrying the solution, but he also knows how scared and hurt people are. Mm-hmm. And he's just moving into all these places and keeping his love on. Mm-hmm. Pretty fantastic to watch.
Yeah. He is. I mean, when I first met him, he was working for our high school, I think, as a football coach. Is that, I think, or he was working for, that's when I first met him. I okay. think that's what he was doing, and in the school system. And so it was just fun to see how he's transitioned and just kind of really taken up what he's called to do and, mm-hmm. and impacting. And he's just grown in favor. And, you know, I really think that the favor of the Lord has just been highlighted on him because he has partnered with My Mission is Love, yeah. and My Counselor is Love.
Yeah, and the people that call him and the people that call on him, mm-hmm. you know, the local officials.
It's a crazy list.
That are in absolute polar opposite. You check all the boxes, mm-hmm. and they're on the other side of everything. And they're saying, Alan, mm-hmm. we need your help. Can you help us find a solution to this problem? And it's things like domestic violence and yeah. suicide. Suicide was, I think they had a record of, I forget the number, but it was
astronomical.
It was just unacceptable, whatever the number was. But it was our I think it was young people, suicide mm-hmm. rate yeah, was just climbing. And Alan got in with a group of people and the community came together and they whittled that number down to zero.
Mm. That's crazy.
And so anybody that cares about their family, anybody that cares about their community has got to be willing to look at the problem, not look at the bad guy, you know, not shift responsibility away from people becoming empowered and getting healthy and getting whole and getting free. And that's how he talks. He just comes in and says, okay, how do we empower our people?
Yeah.
How do we shift from lies to truth? How do we shift from fear to love? And most people can do that. Most people can say, okay, mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. Let's try that. We haven't tried that yet.
Yeah.
We've tried blaming everybody we could possibly think of, mm-hmm. leaving people powerless, leaving people afraid, leaving people as victims. Let's try this. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to watch.
It is fun to watch. I mean, his stories are so fun to listen to. Every call we're on with him, you're just like, Alan, tell us what you're doing. Because it is probably better than what I'm doing right now. Oh, man. Every time. So inspired.
He can get that testimony wheel spinning.
Oh, he can. He's just nonstop. I mean, he has so many that are just so fun to listen to. And yeah. and it's just fun to see, you know, someone take up the message. And then, you know, he's really implied it in a culture that you or I couldn't touch with the impact that he's touching.
Yeah, he's one of us, right? The people look at him and they say, you're one of us. Like he was saying, like, I thought I had some really great tools to fix everybody until I realized I was broken. Yeah. And you're like, that's authority. Here comes the authority. The authority is that you show me weakness. Mm-hmm. You show me you. And I now begin to trust you because you're telling me the truth. You're not just flying in on your jet, you know, to solve all my problems. You actually made the journey you're going to lead me in. Mm-hmm. And that is authenticity.
Yeah.
You know, when you bring authenticity with you, it starts opening all these doors and you can say to people, follow me, and they will, because mm-hmm. you actually had to face the scary things that I don't want to face.
Right, totally. I think, you know, in so many different stories of Alan's, he's really helping the victim embrace, you know, what being responsible means, which is that the ability to respond and answer, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. And it feels like, you know, this whole last two segments have really been highlighting that irresponsibility cycle that traps a victim in being powerless. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that what our listeners are on the scale of partnering with being victims. You know, it can be all sorts of things from the extreme to a mild, but it feels like, you know, there is such a moment and an opportunity for you to make shift and change. And you, and I think my heart's cry for them is really that you don't wait to the place where you're so absolutely miserable, that you recognize that at this point, if you are feeding into that fear and you're feeding into that victim mentality, that you're able to shift today instead of waiting for another year of pain, another year of misery, another year of torment. Mm-hmm. But that today, in listening, even from Alan's story, you know, what he came from was crazy, and what he's gone back into to bring hope and light to is crazy, but he's seen victory mm-hmm. over and over again. And it feels like there's access to hope for stepping out of this cycle.
I think it was Jack Taylor that first said that I heard it, that people aren't willing to change until their misery level surpasses their fear level. Mm. And it's kind of back to, you know, why people change because of pain. But what you're talking about is like, okay, how many years am I going to live in this?
Yeah.
And when will I become miserable enough to where I don't care?
Yeah.
I don't care what I was so afraid of. I don't care. Yeah. I'm more miserable than I am afraid. And that, some people try to find a solution to your pain mm-hmm. when actually your pain is what's finally giving you the courage to face your yeah. fear. So I'm not necessarily a proponent of getting rid of people's pain as much as I am helping them to catch a vision and a hope to build a life that extracts that mm-hmm. system of yeah. pain. And one of the things that Alan does so well is he inspires people
yeah.
with hope.
Yeah.
And he doesn't take them out of their pain, but he inspires them of what it will look like, mm-hmm. which is actually this catalyst of, okay, because the problem is if you're motivated by pain and pain subsides, your motivation yeah,
stays,
subsides.
Yeah.
But if you can trade your pain for vision, then you can keep going way past getting better.
Mm-hmm. And that's where the transformation happens and the cycle breaks.
That is transformation.
And that's the freedom of being powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So praying for you to choose powerful yep. over being a victim every day, all day.
Yeah.
And because that is where whole healthy families will change the world, is when you are powerful and you choose to break the cycle for your family. Don't replicate it. Don't keep producing it. Don't give it. Just change it.
What are you going to do with you?
Yep. That's it.
All right.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next time.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to join us next week when Danny and Brittany talk about the next person in the irresponsibility cycle, the bad guy. Never miss an episode by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. And don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck, Leah Alexander, Anna Hill, and Sherry Silk, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.